It's better than burning to death, he thought grimly, and opened his office window wide. The cobblestone street below was already lit with the hellish red glare of the flames consuming the college's lower floors. The cobbles didn't look very inviting, to say the least, but at least it ought to be quicker and less painful than burning. Yet he hesitated. Perhaps it didn't make any sense, but somehow these last few moments of life were unutterably precious. Or perhaps it was simply that his excellent imagination insisted on projecting what would happen when his frail, elderly body slammed into that stony street. A contrarian to the end, aren't you, Roger? Still, when the flame actually eats through that door, I think you'll find it easier. And, of course, you can always plan on landing head first and...
I beg your pardon, Dr. Mocklin, but don't you think we should be going?
Roger Mocklin jumped at least a foot straight up as the deep, calm voice seemed to speak out of the thin air beyond his window. Then, as he stared in disbelief, Captain Merlin Athrawes of the Carisian Royal Guard swung easily down and through the open window from the edge of the building's roof. His boots thumped on the office floor, and Mocklin gaped at him as the Sajin stroked his waxed mustachio thoughtfully. Yes, definitely time we were going, the guardsman said, as if he were simply observing that it looked like they might have rain.
How? Where?
I'm afraid we're a little short on time for detailed explanations, Doctor. In fact, we're a little short on time for anything except... Mocklin squawked in astonishment as King Caleb's personal bodyguard snatched him up in what another era on another planet would have called a fireman's carry. Mocklin was elderly, and he knew he was growing frail, but he also knew he weighed far more than Merlin seemed to realize. The shoulder under him could have been carved out of marble for all that it gave under his weight, and then Merlin was clambering back out through the window opening.
"Well, you were going to jump anyway, weren't you?"
A lunatic voice gibbered in the back of his brain, and he screwed his eyes tightly shut as Merlin calmly turned sideways and reached for the side of the building. Later, Mocklin was unable to reconstruct exactly what happened next. Possibly that was because of the way his all-too-rational mind insisted on trying to make sense of something which was patently impossible. Or possibly it was because smoke inhalation had already begun to blur his perceptions, caused him to begin imagining things. Of the two, he considerably preferred the second explanation, probably because he was confident it wasn't the right one. At any rate, he found himself smoothly descending the outside of the Royal College's home over that impossibly strong shoulder. It was as if Captain Athrawes were actually driving his fingers and toes through the outer wall as easily as if it were made of paper or thatch instead of bricks and mortar. That was the only explanation for how he could possibly have found purchase points exactly where he needed them all the way down that sheer wall. Except, of course, that it wasn't possible. Was it? Possible or not, it obviously worked. Only minutes after Merlin had miraculously appeared in his office, Roger Mocklin found himself standing in the street watching the building which contained the better part of his life's work go up in a roaring torrent of flame.
"My God! My God!"
he heard himself muttering over and over again.
"What a disaster! My God, how did something like this happen? We never allow lit lamps or candles unless someone is actually using them. Never!"
"You didn't this time either, Doctor," Captain Athrawes said grimly.
"What?"
Mocklin blinked at him.
"What did you say?"
"I said you didn't leave any lit candles behind, Doctor." The Sajin turned to look at him levelly. And this was no accident, either. That fire was deliberately set.
What?
Mocklin shook his head violently.
No, that's not possible. It couldn't be.
Why not? This building, your college... Merlin waved one hand at the roaring, crackling inferno as the first of the city's fire pumps came thundering up behind a pair of foothill dragons. Has been denounced by the temple loyalists from the very beginning, Doctor. It's one of their pet horrors, the home of all that unclean knowledge that led the crown into apostasy, isn't it? Why shouldn't one of their zealots decide to burn it to the ground?